Well, I want to speak to you from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. If you have your Bible, turn there. Jeremiah, chapter 32. Jeremiah, chapter 32. Jeremiah was in prison when this was written, and verse 17 speaks of that, where Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Will you say that end of that phrase with me? Say it out loud. "And there is nothing too hard for me." Again, "and there is nothing too hard for me." Let me go on. "Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel, and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror, and hast given them this land, which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold the mounts, they are come unto the city to take it, and the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken is come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" God here speaks of this, that nothing is too hard for God. If you look in the book of Genesis, back in the book of the beginnings, God spoke to Abraham, and he said in Genesis 18:14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Abraham was 99 years old when God was reminding him, "Is anything impossible for me as God?" And God then promised Abraham and Sarah a child, and Sarah, when she was 90 years old, had that child. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 27, God spoke to, verse 37, God spoke to Elizabeth and Mary, and said of Elizabeth to Mary, verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Elizabeth had been all of her life, her womb had been empty, and now she was going to have a baby, and God reminded her, "Is anything impossible with them?" Then Jesus, in Matthew chapter 19, when he was teaching them, about a rich man entering into heaven. He said, "It's as difficult, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." His disciples said, "Why? What do you mean by that?" Verse 26, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." That's what I want to speak to you about today, is there is nothing too hard for God. I think that sometimes we have been around spiritual things, and we've been around the Word of God, and we've been around the truth of God, and we say, oh yeah, with God nothing is impossible, nothing is impossible, but are we living like it? Is nothing impossible with God? When we pray, do we believe that nothing is impossible, and that God can and will work in mighty ways his wonders to perform? That's what I want to speak to you about today. That's what Jeremiah was speaking about in this passage that we read today. And things seemed absolutely hopeless for him. And God did great and mighty things. Father, we pray now that you will bless these moments, and that, Lord, you will awaken and stir our hearts at the power of our God. And Lord, I pray that it may not just be known, and we may not just agree that you will do the impossible, and God, that we may believe you and see the hand of our God incredibly working. Oh God, bless these moments, we pray, in Christ's name we ask. Amen. Well, God works in our lives, and the Bible, God teaches us practically through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah had a really rough job, a terrible job. He had to preach judgment to Israel, that the judgment of God is coming. I'm surprised that God hasn't raised up a prophet Jeremiah for America for days like this. But Jeremiah prays about these things, and God is teaching him in verse 17. The scripture says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out thy arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Jeremiah confirming this. God speaks to Jeremiah again in verse 27 and says, "Is there anything too hard for me, Jeremiah?" Jeremiah was in prison. He was facing death. It did not look like there was any possibilities for him, but in our circumstances, they are never too hard for the Lord. Your circumstance, the thing that you think, I don't know how this would be possible even, God is able, and nothing is too hard for him. And that's what Jeremiah had to learn. Even with the wicked king that Jeremiah was in prison under. Verse 1 says, chapter 32, then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up. He not only shut him up in the prison, he was shutting him up from speaking the prophecy of God. He didn't like what Jeremiah was saying. Jeremiah was saying that the Lord was sending the king of Babylon. He was going to surround the city, and he was going to besiege the city. And Zedekiah, you are going to be killed. He didn't like that. And I can understand why. And so the king said, I'll take care of you, Jeremiah. I'm going to put you in prison, and I'll shut you up. And that's exactly what he did. Jeremiah was suffering in that prison. It was a terrible prison. It was an awful place for him to be, where he was let down into the prison. It was full of mire and muck and mud. And he was in a terrible situation, a place of hopelessness, loneliness, in that place. And Jeremiah was obedient to God, and God was working in him. And even when it didn't make sense to Jeremiah, God was going to work in his life. And so, verse 6 says, Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me. And behold, Hanamiel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee. So God is speaking to Jeremiah in the prison, in his hopelessness, and God is saying to him, your uncle is going to come, and look at this, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy. Jeremiah is about to die, he thinks. And God sends his uncle to him to say, here is my field, and you have the opportunity to buy it, the right of redemption. And he said, God says to Jeremiah, I want you to buy the field. On top of that, the army of Babylon had surrounded the city. Why would you buy a piece of property when you are either going to die or the city is going to be besieged? And it seems like a hopeless situation. And Jeremiah, that's when he prayed in verse 17, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made heaven and earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. In hopelessness, Jeremiah prayed to the omnipotent God. Have you learned that lesson in your life yet? That when things are hopeless and you cannot see a way, that God is able, nothing is impossible to him. He is that one who will work. Notice in verse 18, Thou showest loving kindness unto the thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. God then is working, even though Babylon had surrounded the city, and Israel was in a hopeless situation. Jeremiah was even in a more hopeless situation, but Israel was in a hopeless situation. And here God says to him, your uncle is going to come to you in the prison. He's going to offer you to buy this property, buy it. And Jeremiah's like, what's the point? Isn't that the way we often respond when God tells us to do something in a hopeless situation, when we cannot see what God is doing, that God works in incredible ways and in incredible things. In verse 17, Jeremiah said, and God said to Jeremiah, and there is nothing too hard for thee. God, there is nothing too hard for you. You remember when Peter was in prison? In Acts chapter 12, there were four quaternions of soldiers that were around him. That is 16 soldiers, four groups of soldiers each, 16 soldiers that were to guard Peter while he was in prison. And Peter was there, and he went to sleep in the prison. He had two guards chained to him. Talk about a hopeless situation. And a guard outside the door, on top of all the other guards, those other six remainder of the 16 soldiers that were guarding him in his in the cell block where he was. And the church, the Bible says that the church prayed. We learn lessons that when we pray, when we pray for each other, when we pray corporately, as a body for things, we are not just doing duty, and we are calling out to God in seriousness, and we are calling out to God even in hopelessness, that's when God speaks to work. And God sent an angel to Peter in the prison, and he loosed Peter from the chains of those two soldiers that were asleep, caused a deep sleep to fall upon them so that they could not awaken. And And the soldier that was standing at the door, standing up, falling asleep, did not see Peter. Then the angel opened the cell door, and Peter and he walked out, and walked out then through the rest of the doors that were locked in the cell blocks, and got to the outside. And Peter then was released and went to the place where the church was praying, and they couldn't even believe it. Isn't that the way that God works? Because when God seeks to work, nothing is impossible. We got to get that into our hearts and into our heads, that God is still in the business of doing impossibilities. And Jeremiah here was learning that as he prayed. Notice in verse 18 that he recognized in the judgment that that the people were in, as he knew that Israel was surrounded by the Babylonians and the Babylonians were going to conquer them immediately. Jeremiah was in prison, and he thought they would come in and they would probably kill him. But in that judgment, Jeremiah recognized that God could do anything, and God did indeed. And notice in the last part of verse 18 how he approached God, the great, the mighty God, the Lord God of hosts is his name, the great God of counsel, great in counsel and mighty in work. Jeremiah here is recognizing God and giving glory to God in all ways of who he is. He sees very clearly. Jeremiah sees very clearly who God is. Psalm 34 verse 15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their," I want you to notice the next word, "cry." In our prayer life, we must learn to cry out to God. I mean, to get serious in our prayer life. Not just mentioning things to God, but in crying out to God. And his ears are open unto his people when we cry out to God. You remember Israel, when they were 430 years in slavery in Egypt? You go back to that passage in Exodus, and it says several times, it says, "And the people cried out to God, and God heard their cry." I tell you, when we get serious about praying, about impossibilities with God, his ears are open unto us. Verse 17 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Have you learned to cry out to God? I mean, pleading with God, begging God, seeking to work. Next verse, Psalm 34:19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." When we get serious with God about prayer and crying out to God, then God will work even in impossible situations, the way that he did with Jeremiah, and in the grace of God. And you'll notice verse 19, he says, "Great God is great in counsel and mighty in work." It is that great counsel, that great direction, that God then fulfills his purpose, and God works in great ways, in mighty ways. See, not only were the circumstances hard, but the oppositions that Jeremiah was facing were incredible. Verse 21 speaks of that, as it says, "And hast brought forth thy people out of the land of Egypt." God is reminding Jeremiah, "You remember how I brought Israel out of slavery, 430 years in Egypt, and I delivered them in an impossible situation?" God here is reminding Jeremiah of Israel's deliverance, that he brought forth thy people out of the land of Egypt. And notice how he did that. He did that with signs. Literally, that word means signals. As you remember, the 10 times Moses went before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go!" And Pharaoh on several times said that he would, and then he welched on the deals. And every time God brought judgment, and God worked in those ways, because God was working, and God was directing through different signals, not only in signals that God was going to deliver Israel, but in wonders. Remember all those miracles? Remember when Moses went, threw down the rod, and it became a snake? And then Pharaoh brought in his sorcerers and necromancers, and they threw down their rods, and they became snakes, but Moses' snake ate up, swallowed all of theirs. Because God was showing his miraculous hand. And then the Nile River turned to blood. And then God sent all kinds of things. He sent darkness to the land. He sent lice. He sent frogs. He sent all kinds of different things that the miracles that God worked. And God here is reminding Moses of all of those things. And for us to remember, there is no circumstance that is too great for God. And as we get serious to cry out to God, his ear is open. His eye is looking upon us. The scripture here talked about there were no oppositions too great. And God then, by his strong hand, that is, by his powerful, open hand, worked in Egypt to release Israel from that which seemed like a hopeless situation. They were slaves. There was nothing that they could do. And yet God, the Bible says, stretched out his arm. And then God, the mighty God, the omnipotent God, the God of all the ages, the God that saved you and loves you, and to whom you pray, is that same God that stretched out his arm to them. And then it talks about the great terror with a huge terribleness is the way that word could be interpreted. And then God, finally Pharaoh said, "Go, just go, get out of here." And that night the children of Israel left. They went to the Red Sea. And then you know the story how that Pharaoh changed his mind again for the 11th time. And sent his army after them. And Israel had nowhere to go. They are backwards to the Red Sea. And then God did the miraculous. He opened up the Red Sea. And he caused the walls of the water to be held up. And he dried up the ground. And the people crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. Through the mighty power of God. And then they saw the ferocity of God's judgment when Pharaoh charged after them across on the Red Sea in their chariots. And God collapsed the waters on the Egyptian army, and every single one of them was destroyed and crushed as God, in his great terror, worked. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? That's what God is teaching Jeremiah here, that oppositions are not too hard, even when they seem impossible, like Israel and the Red Sea and Pharaoh and all of those things. Even when God gave Israel in the 22nd verse the promised land, and God says to Jeremiah, "And I gave them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey." And even when they came in and they possessed it and they still obeyed not my voice, neither walked in the law, neither walked in the word of God. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all of this evil to come upon them. And that's why Babylon had surrounded them now. That's why they were in judgment. They were going to be carried away. They had not believed the promises of God. They had not obeyed the truth of God. All that the Lord had told them to do and all that God wanted to do through them. I think, brethren, that many times that's true with us. And there's so much that God wants to do, that God desires to do, and we hinder Him. Because He says, we believe that all things are possible. But we've got to take them to the bank. We've got to plead then with our God and in sincerity believe that God is going to do those incredible things, and then He will do them. You remember the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were told that they had to bow down to the golden image. And they said, no, that's a false god, that's an idol, and we will not do that. And they said to them, if you do not do that, Nebuchadnezzar said, we will throw you into the fiery furnace and watch you burn. And they said, we don't believe that God will let us, that God will let us happen, but if so, we will not disobey our God, we will obey our God. And they brought them to the edge of that furnace, and the men that were carried, that had brought them, were killed because of the ferocity of the heat that was flaming seven times hotter. And those men died right there, and the three Hebrew children were shoved into the fiery furnace. They were not burned. There was not even smoke on their clothing. And they are walking around in the midst of that fire, like Daniel did in the midst of the lion's den, the protection of God upon them. And Nebuchadnezzar looks in and says, I see a fourth person in there, and looks like one that looks like the Son of God. It was God's protective care and God's hand working in them. I think that God wants to do those kinds of things in us. He has not changed. His omnipotence remains the same. His desire to work through His people remains the same. His word is the same to all generations. God seeks to work in us. And even Israel's own sins did not hurt, did not hinder God from what He wanted to do. Verse 23 says, and they came in and possessed the land, that is, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them, their disobedience to the voice of God. Still God wanted to work in His people. He wants to work in us. Even when they disrespected the word of God by not believing God's truth and God's promises, still God wanted to work in them because they were His people. And even when they dishonored the commands of God, the Bible says they've done nothing of all that God commanded them to do. Still God wanted to work in Israel and in their lives. Is there anything too hard for God? Even the judgment is not too hard for God to work in. In verse 37 here, the scripture says, behold, I gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in my anger and in my fury and in great wrath. If God was going to carry Israel away into Babylon, into the captivity, And he's talking about here, I've driven them in my anger and in my fury and in great wrath, but I will bring them again unto this place. I will bring them back to Israel, God says. And I will cause them to dwell in safety. Their captivity because of judgment wasn't too hard for God to remedy in his time. God was going to do the wonderful work of restoration in their lives mightily. We have seen that in our lifetimes. We have seen Israel, after they were scattered, after they were carried into captivity, and then after the land of Israel was obliterated and Jews were scattered all over the world, and it seemed like an impossibility. 1,400 years later, in 1948, Israel was reunited. The dead bones of Ezekiel were gathered together, and Israel was rejoined as a nation. Impossibly! God restored them to make them the nation that they are, even after their disobedience, and even after their not believing God, and even after dishonoring his commands, still, because, here's the point, nothing is impossible with God. That's the point. The point is God does incredible things, and he then, in verse 38, restored the covenant. God said, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Even after all of that with Israel, God kept his covenant. Do you think God will keep his covenant for you and me? Do you think that God will work even in these last, no matter how corrupt this nation is, no matter how disobedient the Church of Jesus Christ has been, God still desires to fulfill his word through us and to do the impossible things like he did and desired to do through Israel. And so God worked in them. He said, I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever and for the good of them and for their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts and they shall not depart from me. God is giving that to Jeremiah in prophetic terms about the children of Israel for the future and about the people of God. God seeks, he wants to work in us. He wants to fulfill and to work mightily. Verse 42 is the blessing that was realized as God said, for thus saith Jeremiah recorded, for thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? You are a congregation. You are a people of God. Do you believe that God has a pastor for you? Do you believe and do you cry out to God for him to bring that man here to do what God desires to do and to see that revitalization? And to see the power of God reestablished and to see God work in powerful and mighty ways? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that which God desires to do. And how that we as the people of God are involved like that, like the church was when Peter was in prison. And God then released him miraculously, and the power of God was unleashed. It is that that is necessary for us to get with it and cry out to God and plead with Him, and that God would send that servant and that God would be working in him right now. That God would be stirring and working and believing God. Jeremiah believed it. You know what happened? The Babylonians came in that, they invaded, they took Zedekiah, that wicked king that put Jeremiah in prison, and they put out his eyes and they carried him in, and carried Israel in captivity, and they released Jeremiah from prison. And Jeremiah then was living in the land and serving the Lord, probably when he recorded the rest of the book of Jeremiah for us. And God worked in Israel when he made Israel after 1400 years, made them a nation again, and caused the desert to blossom, and has blessed Israel in incredible ways, even though they are surrounded by enemies on every side, and have tried to invade them time after time after time. And God has protected them miraculously. The point is that God worked in great ways. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Our little requests are nothing in compared to the things we are talking about. The disciples had a hard time believing when Jesus was crucified. They were discouraged. They were disheartened. They didn't get it, what Jesus was going to do. And even when Mary and the others came and said the tomb is empty, they had a hard time fathoming and believing that the Savior was resurrected. But nothing is too hard for God. And he took the disaster of the crucifixion and turned it into victory to the glory of God through the resurrection. God seeks. Even though you as a church have been through some hard things, you've lost the pastor that was here. You have gone through the COVID stuff and all of that thing. The thing that we have to be asking ourselves is, what is God's will? What is God doing? Where is God leading us? What is God going to do this through this? Because is anything too hard for the Lord? No. He is that one that wants to work. He is the one that created everything out of nothing. He is the ultimate miracle worker. He is that God. And someone may have doubts that this Almighty God can work in your life. But God says in Hebrews 7:25 that he is willing to save to the uttermost all who will believe. He is willing, he is able to deliver anyone from anything, from any habit, from any difficulty, from any impossible situation. He is the God that works in those situations. To do what we can't even believe or even imagine how that would be possible. God is that God that seeks to work. So what is our job? Our job is to believe Him. It is to place our confidence in Him. When I was a little child, my godly grandmother, would put me on her knee and she would sing with her old crackly voice. She didn't have a good singing voice at all. As a matter of fact, it was rather strident. But I would look up into her face and she would say, "Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. Only trust Him." Nothing is too hard for our God. He is the one who is seeking to work in us as a congregation right now to see the great things that God is going to do in His people, you, and the things that God seeks to do to glorify and honor His name. I don't know about you, but I am pretty excited to see what God has for you. And I think He's already working in ways that we can't see in someone. God is already touching and working and moving upon them in their heart, even right now. And that God is preparing them, and God is preparing you. Because is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Our job is to believe Him, to trust Him, to cry out to Him. When we get serious with God, He gets serious to answer His people and to do great and mighty things. Let's pray. Father God, as we come unto Thee today, our confidence is not in this world. Our confidence, O God, is not in any man-made system. Our confidence is in You, our God. And Lord, I pray that You would even now encourage us, help us, oh God, to be in Your will, that You might be able to show us what You showed Jeremiah by the working of God in their midst. And God, that You would work in us what we, Lord, are looking to You for. Have Your own way, our God. And Lord, I pray specifically for some of the believers that are here today to whom my voice has beckoned, that are in situations that seem impossible situations, that God, You would encourage them, and by Your mighty hand, that Lord, You would work, and You would direct, and You would be powerfully glorified in their individual life as well as in this congregation corporately. We look unto You, our Lord and our God, and we pray that You would be magnified and glorified to the praise of Your name. O Lord, we ask all of these things for Christ's sake.